This Wellness Couch podcast is brought to you by The Wellness Breakthrough. 3 days and two nights with nine of your favourites from The Wellness Couch, all gathering together in Melbourne for one incredible event. We can't wait to see you there. Go to www.thewellnesscouch.com for details.
Welcome. Welcome to today's episode of Karen's Couch. Now, what an absolute treat of a show do I have for you today. I tell you what, I've got somebody that I've been following for many, many moons. This guy has been on my, what I would call my interview bucket list for a while. You know, there are some people that you come across when we're talking about business. There are some people that you come across that just seem to have a recipe for success. And the thing that I love the most about today's guest is he's self-made. You know, this guy started like a lot of us start when we're in businesses. And I'm sure that there was all the self-doubt and there was all the questioning and there was all the can I and can't I and will I and won't I and should I and shouldn't I and, you know, all the external influences that come our way, all contributing to the ultimate decision of him going, hell yes, I'm absolutely going to do it. And then, you know, the roller coaster of being in business, sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. But I think the thing that I've seen with our particular guest today is consistency. And I've seen a real willingness to always stay in the game and always be focused on expansion. And that's really what I've loved about today's guest. And if there's anything that I've modeled from him in my own business, it's that willingness to stay in the game. So please help me welcome to today's show on Karen's Couch, the amazing James Shremko. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
How are you, Karen?
I'm awesome. I'm all the better now for talking to you.
So on the virtual couch.
On the virtual couch. Isn't it awesome? I just love how technology allows us to do all of this. This is cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very flexible and quite different to the traditional idea of a job, isn't it, where we can be anywhere. And in fact, a lot of things that aren't live give us that flexibility for them to happen either automatically or, well, you know, when we choose, which is one of the great things I like about a predominantly online business.
So, James, you've got a pretty wicked story. And I mean, I don't know, and I really want to get to the bottom of this. Like, I mean, did you really always believe that you were going to be a legend? I mean, you know.
That sounds funny.
It probably does to you. But to people who watch you and people who have followed your journey like I have, it's incredibly inspiring to watch somebody build themselves and create something that's pretty magnificent. Why don't you start off by telling everybody, first of all, who you are and give us a bit of a background to you.
Sure. Well, I'm James Shremko. I have a business called Superfast Business, which is an online business, and it's split into a few departments, but in essence, I have business coaching, so I help people grow their own business, and especially online businesses, which is my passion area. We also develop websites, and we help customers get traffic to their websites. We have a strong foundation in search engine optimization. And these days we also help people create content because, as you know, the internet's very content-driven. Yeah. So that's the core of what the business does. And it's been going for about 7 or 8 years now, of which I've been doing that full-time for about six. So In that crossover period, I had a job and started this business on the side and got it to the point where I could quit my job. And the last job that I had was a general manager of a Mercedes-Benz dealership here in Sydney.
Yeah. I read that about you, and it's amazing actually, because I've also used your services personally for the content creation. I put out a call on Facebook, and I said I'm looking for somebody who can help me with my SEO, and I'm not interested in any of the loan sharks out there, because you know there are so many people who profess to be able to be experts on the internet. It's a really, you know, it's a tough gig to wade through, you know, who's good and who's just trying to take your money. And I had five or six people send me comments saying the only person they would trust is you. And it was really cool. So I jumped onto Superfast Business, and you guys managed to create some amazing content for me. You wrote, I think I got about 20 articles written by you guys, and I also had you guys create some online video slideshows for me.
Okay.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was easy. It was fast. It was simple. It was just brilliant. But I can't imagine you being on the end of that. Like, I can't imagine you being the person who's doing that.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not writing the articles or making the videos, but it's kind of surreal to imagine that out there somewhere is a team that I employ and, you know, we run this business. They all work from home like I do,
yeah. And
they're in another country. And it really just started with, you know, little baby steps. It was just me in the beginning, and then there was then a support person, and then an article writer part-time, and then later on, a few years later, I got a virtual assistant, and my biggest concern was, will I have enough work for her to do? And then 50 people later, you know, we're really busy. And it's a great business. And when I look back, what I've actually done is reproduce my old job, taking out all the bad bits and adding in all the good bits. And the main good bits are that it's my business now, and rather than be the employee, I'm the owner of the business. We get paid up front and get to pay the tax later instead of having to pay the tax as we go.
Yeah.
And we don't have stock, which is a real hassle. You know, having $20 million of stock sitting around is a pain.
Yeah.
We don't have a shop, so there's no extra charges we have to pass on to customers. And we're not geographically bound to only deal within a 20-kilometer radius. You know, we have the whole world at our disposal, so it's really opened up the world for me, and I'm able to travel and develop markets overseas in the US, North America, the UK, Dubai. You know, we're everywhere now.
Wow. So that's what you do now? You travel around and you're developing your marketplaces while the machine and the big engine room is running behind the scenes of all these people working from home. Is that right?
Yeah, I create a system, and there's really two sides to the system. It's marketing, which is attracting people to the business, making sure they know you exist,
yeah.
And then there's capacity, which is being able to deliver what you sell. And if you can get the balance right, you get a nice little business that as you grow bigger and bigger, as long as you have a profit margin, and which online businesses, generally the profit margin is much higher than a traditional business,
yeah.
Then your profit grows as well. So it's an amazing thing to think about. It really wouldn't have been possible before the internet,
yeah.
In the way that it works now. And the closest member of my family who had a business like mine was my great-grandfather, and he used to travel around the world buying and selling silver and gold mines. But for him to get somewhere, he'd have to go via ship, and it would take weeks. And, you know, the logistics were just horrific. And whilst it would have been fun for him, he was away from home for a long time, and there was big risks, and the world was a very difficult place to navigate. But with online, we're just microseconds away from resources and from opportunities.
It's interesting, actually. I had a conversation with somebody even just this morning, and she's just about to launch her business, and she's got kids, so being online, you know, is definitely helpful for her. But one of the biggest things she was saying that she thinks is a problem is so many businesses are online now. You know, how do you find a voice in a crowded marketplace? How do you stand out without having to scream and yell and invest a whole stack of energy into the scream and yell when really that's not what she's about? You know, she's about her product, she's about her service, not the screaming and the yelling. What advice would you give to somebody who's looking to take their business online in such a crowded environment?
She wants to get into a position where if someone were to post on Facebook, who should I see for such and such, then five people would say, this person. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's you know, I came from a competitive industry. The motor industry is over 100 years old.
Yeah.
There's five Mercedes dealers within 30-minute drive of where I was selling Mercedes, and it's exact same product from store to store.
Yeah.
So you work on the things that are constant, and that is the human beings involved. I've always had a different approach to dealing with the people than a lot of salespeople. There's a lot of negative connotations about selling, but usually from people who have had a bad experience with a bad salesperson, or people who are trying to sell but they don't actually know what selling is.
Mm.
So by overcoming that sort of fundamental belief system, I think she could probably get out into the market and be quite confident she'll do well. And it's a good sign when there's other people in your space. That means there's customers buying. And if you were going to ask for anything, it's a hungry market.
Yeah.
Where most people go wrong is they're trying to come up with this invention of something new that no one's ever seen before. And it's going to be this great idea, and they spend a lot of money on it, and it flops because no one's interested in it. And the cost to educate people that they should be interested in it will drain the business of all their funds.
Yeah.
So some of the things that you can do, if we were just to sort of review where we're up to, is think about selling as the change in situation from one situation to a better alternative situation. That's the process of selling. So your only job is to help people be better off.
Mm.
And if you're truly motivated about helping people be better off, find out what problems and challenges they have that you can solve, that they already know they have this problem or this challenge and they want a solution. And then you just make sure that you become aware of them and they become aware of you in the easiest way possible. And with things like Facebook groups,
yeah,
and the ability for you to have your own website and to put out good information and for so many people to be able to share that and for you to build an email list that you can have a conversation with, I think that is pretty straightforward. Once you work on a good solution and you are able to start helping people, it won't be long until you get a reputation. And if it's a good reputation, then you'll start to build up that repeat business. And if you're really clever, you'll see if you possibly can create a recurring subscription service so that you only have to sell once,
yeah,
and you can deliver over and over and over again. And that's how 90% of my business is structured, where there'll be one sale, but it's a continuing service. So I look for things where people have continuing challenges, and one of those is growing their business.
Yeah.
It's not like you download an ebook and suddenly every business problem you've ever had will disappear. You know, I work with high-level mastermind group business owners who are doubling or tripling or quadrupling their business, and sometimes the challenges just get bigger and more complex.
That's
and
so
having
true.
That person there holding their hand is a tremendous resource, and they're continuing to pay for that.
So talk to us about your business model. Talk to us about how you even came up with the idea to go from selling cars to what you're doing now. And did you
yep.
always know that it was going to be a success? I mean, what was it like for you?
No, I didn't. I the very, very short bullet point version is I was very successful with running the dealership. I could build other people's businesses. I could turn them around from a loss to a profit. I knew that I had that ability. I have read thousands of books, lots and lots and lots of books, and I've implemented them. Mm-hmm. So I've educated myself and invested that literally must have been tens of thousands of dollars in buying books
yeah.
from decades, 20 years or so. So I had this knowledge and I was exercising it on someone else's business, but I kind of reached the top of the ladder, and the only next logical progression was to have some kind of equity or ownership. It's very hard to bust into the Mercedes-Benz dealership ownership. And then when you look deeper into it, it's not the kind of business you want to own. And most people would be shocked to know that a car dealership's profit margin, when it's all said and done, is around about 2% of revenue. It's very small.
Hardly worth it.
It's a horrible, horrible business to own. So I figured I probably should own a business, but I don't want to own this business, and it's not going to happen. At the same time, someone else offered me a part share in their business to go and run it.
Right.
And I looked at that very carefully. I set up my business, and my legal advisor said, don't do it. This guy's got a lot of debt in a building construction company, and the chances are that if that goes bad, it'll suck the money out of this business. So now I had this business, but I didn't know what I was selling or what it was doing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my parents' travel agency was getting sucked down the gurgler by all these people booking online and bypassing the travel. And I thought that was really interesting, this internet thing is a big marketplace. And if I can sell to my local geographic area cars, maybe if I could sell something else, then I could, you know, take on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I figured it was probably important that I should be able to build a website. I just had this urge to figure it out, and it took me a long time. It was such a struggle sitting there with my laptop and a 20-meter cable to the telephone socket.
Wow.
Watching TV, you know, with my laptop, trying to build a website from scratch with no idea what I was doing. And eventually I bought some software that helped me do this.
Yeah.
And as an example, I was building a website for myself to demonstrate all the tools in this software, and I decided to make it about the software, and I put my affiliate link, which simply means I could earn a commission if someone were to buy that software from me.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, someone actually bought a copy of that software through my link, and I earned a commission.
Yeah.
And it was $49.25. And it was really an awareness then, well, hang on, I can sell this stuff. And then I started focusing more on it, and I learned everything I could about sales, copywriting, and driving traffic to my website, blogging, making videos, you know, enhancing the site. And then I started getting savvy with my marketing, and I offered a bonus for people who bought it through me instead of someone else.
Yeah.
And I built it up to 2 and then 3 and then 5 and then 10 and then 20. And eventually I got it up to $10,000 a month in sales.
Just through affiliate links?
Yeah, just through this one product.
Wow.
And it was still only half my income, so it wasn't enough to quit my job, but it was a taste of it.
Yeah,
and from then, the natural progression was to turn this bonus into its own information product, which I started selling by itself. And that was making $1,000 a day when I first launched it.
There was a huge
demand. So what I realized was there was a bigger market of people who already had the software but didn't know how to use it than people considering buying it. So that was good. And the next thing was I started getting referrals. This is back to the thing about where you can solve problems.
Yeah.
Friends of mine said, hey, I've got a solicitor who needs a new website. Could you build one? And then another one, a car dealer. And I said, sure. And I built them the websites. And then I went overseas, went to a conference. I got all this new information. I came back, and 6 weeks later I quit my job. And the main thing that I did was recontact those customers and say, listen, let me handle your online marketing and I'll do it for a monthly retainer. And I asked each of them for $5,500 per month. They both said yes. So there was my other $120,000.
Wow. Wow.
And that added up to about my salary. It was circa $300,000 now.
Yeah.
And I pulled the pin on my job and kept waking up the next few mornings after I quit thinking, what have I done? This is crazy.
God.
And from that point on, it wasn't long until I was really able to focus on the business and grow it, because now I wasn't going to work for 70 hours a week.
Yeah. So how did you drive so much interest to a relative unknown? I mean, how did that happen?
I did everything you could imagine, from creating browser versions with a link in it to article marketing, video marketing, releasing audios, doing webinars. Wow. I was doing webinars like 6 years ago, well before they were trendy now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And blogging, you know, I was blogging fairly early. This is before Facebook even existed.
And it's
then
challenging.
I sort of got onto Facebook and, you know, MySpace and Twitter when it came out. And
yeah.
My people at the car dealership would laugh at me for blogging or this Facebook thing. Who's going to be using something like that, putting all their personal information? You know, it's funny now to look back at how big it's become.
Yeah. So now, I mean, how are you continuing to grow, and how are you continuing to expand your brand and your business?
Yeah, so the next sort of evolution was I realized that I don't want to be running the AdWords and building the websites, so I should start building a team for that. I tried some contract services, and for a while I was using a third-party business to do websites and traffic, but they ended up, you know, I'm used to Mercedes-Benz quality, and they were delivering me a substandard thing. They were delivering me some, you know, obscure little thing, like maybe a Chinese import version, and or in this case an Indian version, which was just not culturally a good fit for us. And if I'd showed you some of the articles that they returned me, I looked at it and I wasn't proud of it.
Right.
So I hired my own people and trained them up from scratch. Started with
here in Australia, or did you still stay overseas?
No, in the Philippines.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
And it was a huge advantage over India for me because they've got a similar time zone. They all speak English. They are very well educated, university degrees. They work for American companies, so culturally they're aware of all the cultural things that Australians used to. We're speaking to them for our own after-hours calls anyway with huge telcos now.
Yeah.
So it was a really good move, and it was a long-term play, but that's been 5 years now.
Wow.
And the quality of work's terrific. I go and visit every 3 months. Been there like a dozen times.
Right.
And it's kind of like what I had before. I was running a dealership with over 70 people, and now I have my own business with about 50.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really used to structuring and communicating with a group that size because I was the general manager and I used to do it for a living every day.
Yeah,
so it's decades of experience in my previous role has transferred into this new version of what I had. So I built up a team to provide the services. Other people asked for help with their websites, and I was able to say yes because now I didn't have to build it myself.
Yeah.
Then people are saying, how did you build this business? Can you help me with mine? And I'm like, okay. So I set up a community where I coach people.
Yeah.
And then there was people who wanted even more help and were prepared to pay more. So I set a higher level training. So I've ended up with an entry level coaching community, which is about $79 a month. I've got a higher level community, which is about $1,500 a month. And I've got these website development and SEO services. And aside from all of that, I still promote other people's products from time to time for commission as an affiliate.
Right.
And that's because I've got this whole group of customers who have needs and challenges.
Absolutely.
And there are some things out there that I think are a good solution that I'm not going to go and create or get involved in. I'm not going to be setting up software, for example. So that's still a natural product for me to be able to promote for a commission.
So do you think part of what has supported you in this great growth and expansion has been the fact that you've built a business where you've been able to transfer your skills that you'd, I guess, grown and earned throughout your career being employed? Do you think that's part of the key to success?
Yeah, and in fact, I can even trace it back to when I went to meet with my uncle, who was at the time an economics advisor to the Prime Minister of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to visit him in Parliament House when I was in Canberra. And he said to me, look, don't worry about mortgaging yourself, buying houses and all of that now. Just concentrate on growing your expertise. You know, the bit between your ears here is a portable asset. You know, get it, grow it, make it rich because you can get a very high income. And when you have a high income, you can quickly acquire assets. And he said that most people are doing it all around the wrong way.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, they're just slaving it away in jobs and mortgaging themselves to the hilt. So that's why I really invested in reading in the books and applying the stuff that I learned and, you know, very, very interested in the sales and marketing process and partly because it really is just an uncapped income way of going about business. And even when I was an employee, I was always running it like my own business from the point of view that in selling, at the start of every month, you start from zero.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, it's up to you what you get by the end of the month. And I found that there were different approaches you could take. And in every environment that I was at, I was able to outperform all the other people doing the exact same job. You know, the Mercedes-Benz role, I was the number one salesperson in the whole country within the first 12 months. And the same at BMW before that. And even in the debt collection company or the credit finance company I worked at, even if there was four people doing one job, I would outperform all of them applying the things that I was learning because they were just doing what normal adults do. They go to school and they get a job and then and they go home and watch TV and they do that over and over again. And I think I was like business dog years. I think I sort of worked 5 years to everyone else's one in terms of output and energy.
Mm.
But I also had requirements with four kids, with the need to live in Sydney. It's not cheap, and I think that was certainly a driver. And one of the little foundations was that when I grew up, we had money and then it all stopped about in the 1980s recession. So I really was starting from a clean canvas.
I think there's a big contrast between people who do go to work and come home and watch telly and people who go to work and come home and expand themselves. There's a huge contrast in the level of success. And I always say to people, you know, you can't ask for or expect 100% results and 100% success and then only invest 50% of yourself in the process of getting there, because it just doesn't work like that. It's, you know, even just from a numbers point of view, it doesn't work like that. If you want 100% success, if you want that visualization of what you see for yourself as representative of success, then you can't play at half speed. You've got to expand and use the assets that you have at your disposal. And in the beginning, when people start in their business, the best asset they have is themselves. And I think that that's the huge distinction between people who experience everything that business brings with it and people who just experience failure right from the very get-go and then go back to getting a job.
Yeah, it's totally mindset. And you know, if you go down to the lottery office when there's a big lotto payout for that weekend, there'll be a huge queue.
Yeah.
Because people want to believe in this miracle that it's just going to fall in their lap.
Yeah.
And until they take responsibility for their own destiny, it's just not going to happen.
Mm.
More chance of getting struck by lightning twice than winning the big lottery. You know, more chance of getting run over, getting to the car,
yeah,
than winning the lottery. So it's not a case of that they're going to be gifted. It's totally a mindset thing, and we all face that challenge. When I released my first product, I was bracing myself for the criticism and all of the haters that were going to come out and tell me I'm not qualified to publish it, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
When I was selling, even though I was told I was the top salesperson, I still didn't believe it for a few years. And it takes time to readjust and recalibrate, but eventually you can accept it. If everyone else is saying it, maybe they're right. I'll just accept it and I'll bank that self-esteem and I'll improve my confidence and this will be my new baseline. And even though it was very, very challenging for me trying to run this online business while I still had a job, I think I pushed past the point where most people give up, because I just believed that being at least normal intelligence and a proven track record, I must be able to do this. It's just a belief that I could do it. And it was just a matter of finding the right path. And I pushed through, but it was extraordinarily difficult. Of course, I was tired by the end of the day. I had a lot of stress during the day, and then you've got kids at home, which can be stressful as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of it, that little bit of extra work up front created a completely different life now than what I was doing before. And when I was in that desk job, feeling like I've peaked in my employeeship, apprenticeship is the way that I viewed it. It was like a paid apprenticeship.
Yeah.
I was an apprentice as a general manager on $300,000 a year, and I was, you know, yet to get started with my real business career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still view where I'm at as a progression compared to where I'm going to go to, and I'm always trying to refine and evolve that. So we're never there. We're on the way. But put in a little bit of extra work now, you can have a completely different outcome later, because it sets you up if you do the right things, and it really comes down to that. And it is tough when people set off on the wrong path and they stubbornly persist when there's no chance they're going to be successful. They're definitely not going to make it, and that can be disheartening. So it's very important that you get the right information and that you choose the right path, and often that means seeing what's worked for other people and staying pretty close to the line until you've mastered it enough to be able to make your own decisions and to deviate from the conventions.
Yeah, it's really interesting points that you've made there, in that I remember when I first started my business, I was general manager in the real estate industry, and I would work, you know, 10, 15 hours a day, and then I'd come home and I'd work on my business, and I did that for 12 months before I finally threw the towel in and said, I'm just going to go and do my own thing. And I think that was exhausting. You know, that was just absolutely exhausting. But there was this something inside of me that just knew I could do it. I didn't know really. I just had this anticipation of knowing. And it was exhilarating at the same time as it was exhausting. But the thing that I really love that you mentioned earlier is that you've discovered throughout the journey that you've been on that you're not just somebody who provides services. You're also an entrepreneur, which has turned you into a person who provides services, but also now a mentor and a coach. So I think that that's really invaluable that people see themselves from all different angles. Because as much as we get to a success level in our businesses, we are then also able to give back to people who are just starting out on their journey. Because we've learned so much about life and we've learned so much about business that's beyond our product or our service. And I think that that's really, really cool as an eye-opener for people to really look at what else they can create and use as a tool to expand their businesses.
Well, being an entrepreneur means that you're actually creating as you go anyway.
Yeah.
You're earning money in proportion to the amount of value you create. So the idea is to create more value for more people. And I know a lot of people say, oh, I want to give back, or I want to do something for others. I can tell you, absolutely not my motivation.
I was going to ask you that question today.
As selfish as you could possibly get, I just wanted to be sorted out financially myself,
yeah,
my family. And it was not a consideration about anyone else.
Yeah.
But I know to get that, you just help other people get what they need to create solutions for them. But I was doing it in a very business-like way. It's only now I can feel good about employing 50 people and all of the customers we help, hundreds and hundreds of customers, and seeing their lives improve and seeing them create better things. I now get it, but it certainly wasn't my original motivation. And I'm being totally honest about it. And I think a lot of people, when it's in those dark hours and your credit card's maxed out, when you've tried some things that didn't work, you're in a soul-destroying job by day and a failing business at night, I think the last person you're worried about is starving kids in Africa. It's a human instinct to get yourself sorted out.
Totally.
And I think it's socially responsible to take a drain off the welfare system, to be able to independently look after yourself and feed and clothe yourself and to support yourself without draining the taxes from the economy, so that the people who really, really need it can have it. And I think that it's good to be an entrepreneur and it's good to create value. But just like breathing out without breathing in, you can't bring in the money without putting out something somewhere anyway. So I think you're paying your debt as you go.
And so for you, starting your business as an affiliate model, and obviously you're still doing that, would you suggest for people who really want to have a business but really don't know what to do, like, well, where do I start? What do I do? I know I want something, but I don't know what it is, and I don't have a passion about something. So what is it necessarily that I'm going to do? Do you think that that's a really good place to start?
Well, there's a few business models that work well for people depending on their situation. So people who are at a full-time job during the day are not going to be able to set up a business services model as easily as someone who's got plenty of spare time during the day. Like if someone's, a house mum, they've dropped the kids off at school at 9 and they picked them up at 3, they've got a good part of during the day to be able to run a service business, take phone calls, meet with people at coffee shops. So for those people, if they've come from a corporate career or maybe they're in real estate or whatever, it would be a very easy business model to go and help customers with their websites and their online marketing. It's much more lucrative and a much faster result than affiliate marketing for most people. You could be making 20 grand a month within a month or two.
Yeah.
Affiliate marketing is a slower, more gradual process because you're a little bit behind the scenes, but you can do it at midnight. You don't have to talk to customers. You don't have to set up a sales offer or a sales funnel. All you have to do is find something that solves a problem and get it in front of the right person. So it's a very simple business model, but you don't end up having that customer relationship as easily. It can take longer to build up, but it can also be really highly automated and leveraged. And it is hyper-competitive, of course. So you've got to pick your products carefully.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend of mine who decided to do that affiliate model, and it took her about 2 years. But she did find the right product, and she did create the right funnel, and she did get it in front of the right people. And, of course, she took home about $460,000 last year just from that affiliate model. So now, you know, for her, it's just replicate, replicate, replicate. So she's, you know, well and truly on a really lucrative path.
Well, the next step for someone like that is where I went, which is to create your own products. so that you get you have other affiliates selling your product. It's the exact opposite. Now you spend your time working on the product and product development and sales conversions, and then have everyone else market it for you. So that's a great way to go, and it can really increase your revenue, but it's more responsibility. And the other aspect is, if she's earning that much, she could easily be setting up an education business, helping other people understand how they could go about doing that, and they would pay her to learn that, for her to help them do it, or to package information products, set up communities, speak from stage, run boot camps. So a $400,000 a year income from affiliate marketing could very quickly become $2 or $3 million a year as an expert, author, information product slash services, etc.
Well, I hope she's listening to the show, because I think you've just given her a whole world of ideas that she can do as a next step. That's awesome.
Yeah.
James, you've been incredibly insightful. Thank you so much, and very inspiring. I'm so glad that I got you on the show today. As I said, I've been following you for a long time, and I've really been admiring your work and, as I said, your tenacity and your willingness to just continue. And you are in an environment that's noisy, but you've really carved a niche for yourself. And from my own personal experience of super fast business, it's been nothing short of astounding, and it's been a treat to do business with Superfast Business, and I'll continue to use your services, because I think you're brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Well, that's very, very kind, and thank you for saying that. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's been absolutely wonderful. Hopefully we'll get you to come back and we can do a James Schramko 101B session.
Yeah, well, if you get any questions or whatever, or you want me to address, I'm happy to come back.
We definitely will. We definitely will. Thank you so much, my friend. This has been awesome.
Okay.
So thanks, for Karen. Everybody who's been watching the show, thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been inspiring for me. I almost can't wait to get back to my office and start working on my own business and start looking at what else I can do. James is just so, he's just a font of knowledge. If you want to track down James and look at the kind of services that he offers, just get on his damn website. In fact, do it now. Get your phone, no matter where you are, your phone, your iPad, no matter where you are. Go to superfastbusiness.com.au and check out all the services that they offer. Because you know what? Sometimes copywriting and website and SEO is not your expertise. So hand it over to somebody who has made it their business. And that gives you time to work on your business and the things that are your expertise. And it's all about growth and a willingness to just step out there and see what comes. So go to our Facebook page at allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch. And please, please, please post us all of your questions for James. And I know that you're going to have millions of them. And I would personally love to have him back on the show. So post your questions, and then we can make a time for him to come back in the new year. Everybody that's been joining in and tuning in, make sure that when you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating for our podcast. Tell everybody that you know that you absolutely love Karen's Couch, because we rock. I'm going to see you here, same time, same station, next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.
Hello, Marcus Pierce here, CEO of The Wellness Couch and co-host of 100 Not Out and Inside the Champion's Mind. If you are champing at the bit to take your 2015 to the next level, then I invite you to this special one-night-only event on Thursday, February 5. The Exceptional You, Unleash Your Greatness is a boutique two-hour workshop on designing your very own unique exceptional life blueprint. How have the most magnificent people ever to live conducted their lives? What wisdom have they passed on? What do they eat? How do they move? How do they think? And how can you be one of them? I share all of this at this special one-night only event. Tickets are just $47, and a special two-for-one offer may still be available. For details, simply go to exceptionallifeblueprint.com.au/you or check out 100 Not Out on Facebook.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavour to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.